for example, here we have finite elements. So when you take a hyperbolic space and you quotient out by this group, you're not going to get a manifold because something is going to go wrong at these points and the point at infinity. So when you quotient out hyperbolic space by this group here, you're going to get something that looks like a pillow. Looks like a pillow. It's going to have a point at infinity that corresponds to this point up here, and it's going to have a cone point order 2 and a cone point here of order 3 that corresponds to this. Okay? So this is what I mean by an orbifold. It's not a manifold because something goes wrong at a few points. Oh, should we get a break or what? Hyperbolic surface versus hyperbolic two orbifolds. And it turns out that this triangle group gives you the smallest possible hyperbolic two orbifold. And maybe you'll think that why should you care about that? It turns out that this question is really difficult in general. So in dimension 3, so this was something that was studied by someone important in the genre, who it was. I didn't write it down. So this was something that was determined back in 1945. So this was a really long time ago. And this group in particular answers the question of the smallest two orbifolds, smallest hyperbolic two orbifolds. But then you can ask the question, what is the smallest hyperbolic three orbifolds? And that question was really, really difficult. And the answer for that question was only resolved in 2012. So you should see that this, in general, is a very difficult question to answer, even though I mentioned 2 is easy. Two orbifold, this is an example of a two orbifold. So it's a surface, but you can allow cone points.
Yeah. So it's like the dimension, yeah?
Yeah, two stands for the dimension, okay. Yes. Oh, I did write it down. This was done by Steve in 1945. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now, let me tell you, and we're going to end with this, a little bit about why you should think that this particular triangle group is really special. And it's not just because it gives you the smallest area and the smallest two orbifolds, but it's a little bit more than that. And this is something that's called Herbig's automorphism theorem. So this is part 5. Okay, and Herbig's automorphism theorem says that if you have any Riemann surface, and the way that you should think about this is that if you construct some surface in some way that looks very symmetric, then you can have different symmetries of your surface. And this is saying that the number of symmetries of your surface that you can have is bounded above by this number. Okay? And I think this result is not so hard to prove, and it's pretty nice. And there's actually in the literature a lot of different ways to prove this using a lot of different techniques. You can prove it in terms of algebraic geometry, in terms of varieties, and you can prove it geometrically, you can prove it with hyperbolic geometry, and there's a lot of ways in which you can do this, and you can find a lot of things online. I think there's even a proof of it on the Wikipedia article about this theorem. But it's a really nice little theorem. And then, so you could say, so you call achieving this plan. Okay, but do they exist? And the answer is yes. And it turns out that every single pervious surface can be tiled by this triangle. Okay? And in fact, there is not a pervious surface of genus 2. So what I'm saying is there is no genus 2 surface that has exactly 84 automorphisms. But there is one of genus 3. So this is the smallest pervious surface here. So this is the first pervious surface. And because this surface is so special, it has a name. It's called the Klein-Portic. And the word portic here comes from the fact that people study this coming from an algebraic variety. But because you should see that algebraic curves are really even surfaces, so that's why it's called this, even though it's a surface. So the Klein-Portic, so we have genus 3. Genus 3, the number of automorphisms is the best possible, so it's 168. And actually, the automorphism group is actually really nice to describe. It's the group PSO2C17. So these are two by two matrices with determinant 1, with coefficients and mod 7 up to minus 1, 0, 2, minus 1. This is the automorphism group that describes this. And I said that we can tile this surface, we can tile both pervious surfaces with this triangle group. And if you take this triangle group, so the first thing you should realize is that this is pi over 7 here. You have to go around 14 times, reflect 14 times around, to get back here, right? But every two of these are going to give you a triangle with this straight line here that comes from this right angle. So when you do this, these 14 times, you get these 14 little triangles. It's going to give you a heptagon, right? It's going to give you a heptagon. So you know that you can tile the heptagon with exactly 14 of these triangles. And this Klein-Portic, you can actually tile with 24 heptagons, which means that you have 24 times 14, whatever this large number is, triangle tiles. And you can use this to, for example, calculate the area. So this thing is going to have area 8 pi. So this is called the Klein-Portic. So that was 24. Oh, so one other thing I want to say about this. It turns out that this group and also this one are types of groups that are called arithmetic groups or arithmetic lattices. And most likely you have never seen this before, but if you did, it would be super interesting. This is part of the thing that I do in my research, is studying arithmetic lattices, and they're super interesting, and the thing about them is that you have some number theory that you can use to tell you things about hyperbolic geometry. So that's the reason you care about arithmetic lattices. And this is an arithmetic lattice. This one also gives you an arithmetic lattice. And from covering space theory, if you've taken an algebraic topology course before, you know that covers or some of the upper manifold, they really come from finite index subgroups of your group. And in particular, arithmetic groups have special types of subgroups that are called congruent subgroups, and they really come from congruences, like modular arithmetic subcongruences. And this particular one comes from a congruence by some prime ideal. And actually, I'm not going to tell you what this prime ideal is because it's not pretty, but I'm going to tell you the next pervious surface, and that one comes from the prime ideal over 2. these groups have a associated number field, and the number field is really just the, it's just the field that you get when you take directionals and you are joined to it all the traces of the elements in your group. That's what you call the associated number field. Actually, it's called its trace field. It's associated traces. And then fields have a ring of integers, and the ring of integers in a field has ideals. So the next smallest Herbig surface. So next Herbig surface. This one is also important, and people study it, so it has a name, and it's called the Massif surface. So this one has genus 7, and this one comes from a common subgroup that corresponds to a prime ideal 2, but I'm not going to even write it down. So here, the automorphism group I get the identity. So this is reduce each coefficient. So for example, something that's in here is 0, 1, 2, 0, 1. So this is an example of a matrix that's in here. It turns out that whenever you do this, you're going to get a group that has finite index in this bigger subgroup. And you can do the same type of thing for other types of number fields, but then it gets a little bit more complicated. And that's what you're doing over here. This one here comes from 2, the prime 2. So you're reducing modulo 2. But for this one, you're looking at 13. But in this case, 13 is not a prime ideal in this big field. But it splits as a part of the two distinct prime ideals. So if you look at the reduction modulo each one of those, you're going to get the corresponding subgroup. They're all going to have the same index. So they're all going to give you surfaces with the same genus, but they're non-isometric in the case. That's basically it. So that's what makes sense.
So the automorphisms over there that you mentioned, you're talking about isometries? In the Hurwitz theorem over there.
Yes, but these are of the surface itself, not of the hyperbolic plane.
Okay.
Yeah. So for example, you can take a surface and do some sort of reflection along some of it, and it looks the same on both sides. So that's an example of the automorphism of the surface. So it comes from an isometry of the hyperbolic plane, but it's an isometry of the hyperbolic plane that sort of preserves your surface.
So what is this number field here?
This number field in particular.